side three of our continuing interview with Mr. Nate Kaufman. Take two of our interview with Mr. Nate Kaufman.
I'm the past president or chief barker of Variety Club of Pittsburgh, also past president of the Variety's Fund for Handicapped Children. Chairman Emeritus, the past chairman of the Camp Variety, and the present time of chairman of Camp Variety for handicapped children. So that is one of my loves. I'm the past president, believe it or not, of the Greater Pittsburgh Amateur Baseball Federation. I was very interested because Greenwood County Parks, I was very active in a great number of sports. So that's past president of that. Of course, I'm active with the Lions Club now. I'm the second vice president of the Lions Club. We do quite a bit of work for the blind, you know.
Well, luckily, we have all your organizations written down, included with this report, because it would take us...
They're all listed here on affiliations.
Very good. We were talking about you were working at Chatham. Because of your certificate that you received?
That's right. Well, they found out that I had just completed this course in industrial safety engineering. OSHA had just come in now, and they were checking everything all over the country, and they're very strict about it. As a matter of fact, we were the first hotel to have OSHA come in to check our facilities.
Talk about OSHA for a minute.
Well, OSHA is the Occupational Safety Hazard Act, which was set up for the protection of employees. And so, as a result of that, I used to check all facilities, but I had, having had quite a bit of food training, you know, running a kitchen for many years, at camp, I used to check the kitchens at Chatham Center and check the housekeeping department and the maintenance department, make my weekly reports on that, so, which was important for them, even though at one time, I think they received a small fine because, some of the pipes weren't labeled properly, or one report hadn't been prepared properly, which was insignificant. But
now you got the certificate from
the University of Pittsburgh. That was a 128-hour course that I'd taken, I think, in 1940 or 41. So then, when the war hit, I was offered a job on Neville Island in one of the big planes down there. In the safety department, because they were appointing more and more men for ship construction and all the other work that had to be done in the war effort. But when I received a call from Red Cross, I left Pittsburgh and took a heavy cut in salary. I think I cut down from maybe $5,000, which was a lot of money in 1941, 42. And I think I went overseas for $2,500, I think, and my wife would get like $200 a month, and I would get $25 when I was overseas. But as I said, I felt I had to do something, and the fact that I was able to do 79 day rooms, if I never do another one as long as I live, that enjoyment was sufficient.
That's a real accomplishment, yeah.
In addition to that, I've always taken additional courses here and there, and even when I was at Chatham Center, I took these 15 courses, which took about 3 or 4 years, which qualify me now to try for the exam as a certified hotel administrator, of course, which I'm not going to do at the present time. But I am president of the local chapter of the American Hotel and Motel Association right now. I'm president, and we provide and conduct these courses for hotel employees who would like to grow. But I'm giving it up this year. As you know, I had a heart attack, so I'm going to come down a lot of that too. But I loved it. I completed, as I say, 15 courses in hotel administration. So right now, we've just started another course with the hotel. Every course we used to get one of the other hotels to sponsor, and they don't charge it. We're affiliated with the Hotel Association.
So then you worked from 1960. 66. 63 to 66, you went to the Y.
I came back to the Y.
66 to 76, you worked at Chatham Center.
From November 66 until...
Now, talk about just a few of the people that you worked with during this time. There were some of your colleagues and employers. You mentioned Mr. Bronstein at Honus Wagner.
Yeah, E.L. Bronstein, of course, started the Honus Wagner Company, and I worked there.
We were at the Y. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, at the Y, of course, I've worked with many of them, very, very, today, very prominent Pittsburghers, or their sons. And because I've worked in so many different areas of activity at the Y, when I was there, at one time I had charge of the Y restaurant for 4 years. And in addition to that, I ran Laurel Y Camp for many years, where I had thousands and thousands of our children. So, you know, you run into the community in and out of Allegheny County. And then, of course, I ran the health club, where we had thousands of members. And originally, Buck Jeske, a very prominent former coffee club basketball player in Allegheny County, and Jaime Rogel and I, we sat down and we laid out that health club up on the top floor of the Y, and I opened it in 1950, and which was quite a health club. We set up all of the different plans, and many of my organizational charts are now being used by the Jewish Welfare Board in a book called Health Club Procedures. And we did that. I've done about 13 health clubs around the country since then. I did the one at Chatham Center. Not the one at Chatham Center. I did the Parkway Center with Cosman Ball. Cosman. I did the one at for Nat Cam down when he opened up with the health club down there. I did that. I did one in, quite a few other ones. For Mr. Thorpe down in Pensacola, I think it was Florida. So, during these many, many years, you know, 50 years, it's nice when last night I went over to Moose for dinner and everybody stopped to see me, and there I was telling my wife, Esther, your husband taught me how to swim, and I must have taught everybody a bit how to swim. I know I had thousands of boys and girls.
And how about your children? Let's talk about your children a little bit.
Well, all my children are swimmers. Vivi, that's the eldest, she was a very beautiful girl. She used to swim, and Irene was quite a swimmer. And as a matter of fact, her husband, Herbie Langwitz, was a former member of the University of Pittsburgh swim team, and they live in St. Louis. Vivi Norbert lives in Dallas, Texas, and Sonny Ralph was a good swimmer. Of course, when I was at camp, all the children worked with me. Wayne, of course, he's a latecomer. When I got back from India in 1945, he was born in 48. And he's quite a powerful swimmer, too. And,
contrast the way your children were brought up with the way you were brought up?
Well, we had it very, very nice when we were children. Of course, that's because my mother and father were a very close-knit family. My father had a lot of friends, and my mother, although she was very, very busy, she was very close to the children. My wife was much closer to children than I was in the early days, because I was always out, you know, on the job. I say with the Ikes and with the county, and then overseas for 3 years she took care of the children. She was a wonderful woman, so she made a lot of sacrifices. We were always very close to the children, and we were very, very confidential. And my girls were young, they knew all the facts of life before they got in the will. Of course, you know, with most Jewish families, my mother still loved us, but we were brought up, at least my wife and I, a little more
open,
so my children knew everything.
They're all married now?
They're all married, yeah. Vivi has three children, Irene has five, and Wayne has two, and Sonny has three. And Irene has been going to school in St. Louis. She's graduating from a two-year college course in a few weeks, May the 22nd, I believe. And we were supposed to go up there.
That's your daughter.
That's my daughter. She's still going to school. She works at the Jewish Community Center in St. Louis with Ziggy Kahn's son, Bill Kahn, who, by the way, is coming to Pittsburgh as a new executive director of the Federation. You know that? Mr. Surratt is leaving.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, nobody knows it yet. He's coming to Pittsburgh in September. He's going to be the new executive director. But Irene works with Bill. Works in the phys ed department. She teaches swimming. And she's she's a water safety instructor. And she's going to school. She's going to go back to being school in psychology. That's what I was working with.
As far as religious observances, you belong to an synagogue now?
Yeah, I'm just stepping down as vice president of the Abbott Jesuit Synagogue. And I've been the vice president for 2 years. And I'm stepping down this year.
This is the one you belong to all the time?
Well, since I was out of Pittsburgh when I left the Y originally in 1960, and I went to Jennerstown as a general manager of the top of the mountain, a new recreation resort, which fell through. So when I came back to Pittsburgh, I joined the Adventure Synagogue. So I've been with them all through these years.
Do you consider yourself observant?
No, I would consider myself conservative. Not reformed, although when I was in Jennerstown, we did belong to the Reform Synagogue. So I belonged to the Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform. And I participated in those fights. My youngest son, Wayne, was bar mitzvah at the Reform Synagogue in Johnstown. And we were living in Jennerstown.
Are there any other religious organizations or institutions that you're part of that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, as I say, I've been active with this new group on the Synagogue Federation, and being a member of the Adventist Jesuit Synagogue, and active as first president of the men's club at the Romanian Synagogue. And, so directly and indirectly, I've been affiliated with other Jewish organizations. B'nai B'rith, I've been a member of ZOA for many, many years. Jewish war veterans. Jackie Heller and I were both inducted at the same time. Now, he worked at USO and I worked at Red Cross. So we're not members of, we can't claim any military benefits, but we were affiliated, or I was affiliated with the military for 3 years, obviously. So I pay my dues to the Jewish war veterans.
Now, how do you view your accomplishments and your successes and failures?
I don't know, it's strange. I've always had the feeling of looking for people to help. Now, I don't know whether that's, maybe I've had inferiority complex, or maybe it's because I felt that I needed more love, affection, and praise and recognition. I really don't know, but I was never interested in business as such. All of my brothers were in business. And I always felt a great deal of satisfaction if I could teach someone how to swim, if I could do something for somebody. As a matter of fact, I have some letters on my desk now. I'm supposed to get a wheelchair for somebody, and another fellow. There are two letters on my desk right now. And this other fellow wrote to me, and it's Cannonsburg, PA. He's in very bad condition, along with club feet. And there's a lot of other complications, and this helps to investigate that. I've always felt the money was secondary. As a matter of fact, I was always criticized by it. Why are you doing that? You're getting paid for it.
Well, you certainly have a...
Yeah, it's just a question of being occupied. Right now, with this heart attack, I'm slowed down. I'm very frustrated and depressed. I can't get around to the things I'd like to do. And then, of course, my wife, Esther, she watches me like a hawk. She's a fool, you know, she's a
Can you contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh yesterday, culturally or socially, politically?
Well, there have been advances already. I think politically, I was program chairman for the Young Democrats many years ago when the first people got involved in the political situation. And with Dave Lawrence, who was very, very active, and Joe Barr, down to the Benjamin Tree Biz, we used to meet down there. And I was a range of programs for him at the same time. And I was active with in the formation of the Ladies of the Women's Guild, of the Women's Democratic Group. When we first met, and I can remember sitting on the dais behind, on the base of the dais, when Mrs. Eleanor Kane was the first president of the Women's Democratic Guild, and saying, she was very new at it. So I feel, you know, I was responsible for the formation of that. And then, of course, I got Sophie Maslov when she first came to work for the county. I was coaching her today. Of course, Sophie was a sweetheart. So I knew all of the big politicians. I was very close to John Kendrick on the county sesquicentennial. So politically, I was in today, the politicians, even though there aren't many scandals, they are better educated and better qualified than they were in the 30s and the 40s or the 20s. That's my opinion. Because today you find a lot of professionally trained people are going into politics. So years ago, it used to be the ward chairman, the ward heroes, and the politicians that came up because they were able to get enough money out of the rackets to buy somebody a ton of coal. And today, of course, as I say, I think we're... The business of exposing the elements that have gotten wrong with the political situation and taking advantage of it is a good thing, but I just want to clean it up. Now, culturally, Pittsburgh today is miles and miles ahead of where it was 20 or 30 years ago in all areas, whether it's the ballet or the symphony or the Heinz Hall or the museum or the arts. There's no comparison. We're so far ahead. As far as socially, I think people are more socially aware of and participating like you are and doing these volunteer jobs to bring people up to date on what they should know about. So I think there's a great participation in many areas of service, volunteer service in many ways that you didn't have years ago, even though they used to work at the Washington Hospital and the Western Hospital and the veterans. More and more today, people are becoming involved and making a contribution service-wise.
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now?
The big thing, the big change in Pittsburgh, I think, has been the introduction of the Yeshiva groups, the Hillel group, and the other training groups. I think more emphasis should be placed on that than before. There seems to be, and there always has been, some opposition towards that. Some people think we should not go parochial and stay with the system. I think it's a good thing, and I think it has merit, because not only do the children get a good Jewish education, and they something we didn't have in my day. We went to Cheder. Always we studied, we didn't know what we were reading. We read the Hebrew, and we lost. We were cheated because we didn't get the translation. Today, that's fine, and I just hope and pray that will continue. I think the children should go, if the parents want to, the children should go to parochial school, because then from there, then they go into the high school, if they want to, into college, and they get the other half of it. So they become well-rounded citizens. And to see we're losing so many of our boys and girls, intermarriage is a tragedy in this country. And it's becoming worse and worse, as it is in Canada, too, by the way. But with the intermarriage situation, that's one of the things that's one of the subjects that they're concerned about in this relationship between the Federation and the synagogues. is intermarriage. As a matter of fact, it was one of the first subjects brought up to be included on the agenda for discussion. So I'm probably in favor of that. We're losing our boys and girls, and we shouldn't be. Not that, of course, in many cases they are converting, which is to our benefit. But still, I think that we're losing out in interpretation of children not getting a good basic Jewish education. I think that's really at fault here.
We're going to finish this interview by adding any addenda that we had not talked about before, and one of the things we want to talk about is your second marriage. You were married...
Well, Sarah passed away in April 1976 or 77. I'm losing all track of time. Don't hold it at all. Anyway, she was a very lovely person. We were married for 47 years, and we had many, many happy years together. We actually grew up together. And we had a lovely family life in the holidays at Kilmarnock, and she always bathed and bathed. And it was really, and the trips to the children, everything was very happy. Of course, I felt very much lonely and alone when she passed away, and I didn't think I'd ever get married again. And I had no intention of getting married again. And I'd known my present wife, Esther. She used to play cards with my wife, and she was a very pleasant person. She was a widow for 7 years. Her husband was Harry Levine. They had a sandwich shop up on Mellon Street for many years. People knew her for many, many years. Esther, she has 4 children. She has 10 grandchildren. And so, as I say, I had no intention of getting married. And coming home to our weekly, we bought this little cottage, a bungalow, Stanton Avenue. We were in love with it, but it was very lonely, and I met Esther, and we had a cup of coffee, and one word led to another, and we found it very compatible, and I fell in love with Esther. So we got married in December 30th, 1977. We went on a cruise, a honeymoon cruise, so we celebrated our honeymoon and my birthday on the ocean. And of course, getting married before January 1st, you know what that did to my income tax, and everybody says, "What, too much?" So I keep kidding, saying, "You know, that was a very expensive first night." But she's a very lovely person.
Nice.
She's very, very considerate. She watches over me like a hawk since I had my heart attack. We've been very, very happy.
When did you have a heart attack?
I had a heart attack on February 24th. It was 2 months ago. And they found out I'm missing a beat occasionally. So, but outside of that, I'm still active, or want to be active, with 2 important projects. One is a camp for handicapped children, Camp Variety. And the other project that I'm going to hold on to is as vice president of the Optimist Good Fellows Toy Fund, where every year we give out $100,000 worth of toys before Christmas to about 23,000 families, I believe. So that's one of my projects, along with Mr. Joe Shear, who's president of that. I'm president of the Optimist Club, and he's president of this. Now, it's strange, you have 2 Jewish men, very active, with a Christmas situation affiliated with the Post Gazette. So,
is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'll say it's been a very fruitful, wonderful experience all my life. I love working with people, with children. I work with children all my life. And these dividends are coming around when I meet people and they say, "Remember your time in this family?" I went out this morning to buy something, and the fellow said, "Oh, they better give Nate a good price. He helped us grow up."
You certainly have many, many causes for satisfaction, you see. Thank you very much.